This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back at it, it's Cashing Out, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. Give us a follow over at VSiN Live on X, at Dustin Sweetelson for me. Tweet the show. Let us know. Do you think the Pacers have a chance when it comes to Game 6? In case you missed it on Monday night, the Oklahoma City Thunder took a 3-2 series lead in the NBA Finals, winning 120-109. They do cover the 9.5-point spread. The game goes over the total, just our second over in the NBA Finals. The Thunder moved to 9-3 against the spread at home, and it's a massive win in Game 5 where we were tied up 2-2, although it did feel like the Thunder, with the way they won on Friday night, that they took control of the series again. It did feel Indiana was coming to this game already down, going back to Oklahoma City, and momentum had shifted. And the numbers would tell you that Oklahoma City's sitting in a great spot, because 74% of Game 5 winners in that spot 2-2 end up winning the series, and Oklahoma City gets the win. We're going to go back on Thursday for Game 6, where, look, that one opened, and it was originally Oklahoma City -5.5 on the road, 224.5 the total. Total hasn't moved since that came out about an hour and a half ago. But Thunder getting a little bit of money because it went from 5.5 to 5. We talked to Arthur DeCesar from over at the Westgate. They have it Thunder -4.5. Circa right behind me opened -4.5. So if you're looking to lay it, obviously shop around. You want to lay that 4.5 with the Thunder, which is something that I will likely be doing. I just think when you look at Indiana and all the energy it's taken to mount these crazy comebacks, the way that they stole, right, game one of this series, got that split, came back home, won a game, and were this close to going up 3-1. To go from this close to being up 3-1 to now down 3-2, that is quite a turn of events. I don't know. These are human beings. I don't know how at some point in Friday's game, there wasn't a part of them thinking, we're about to do it. We're about to take down the team in Oklahoma City that no one believed could be taken down. A team that had the best net rating historically, unlike anything we've seen in the NBA. A team that their defense, we were told, you could not penetrate. A team that was going to turn that high-powered Indiana offense, turn them over into Thunder's offense of their own. And instead, now we're sitting in a position where Oklahoma City's doing what a lot of people expected them to do, which is win the series. And I think they're going to get it done. They're going to win in 6. And 4.5 feels like a gift. It feels like a bit of a short number. I think I'm going to end up getting there with the Thunder on the road on Thursday in Game 6. Sticking with the NBA, this came out, and I just saw it during the break over the course of the last couple hours since we hit the air. And that is a report about Kevin Durant. And now, if you're following the news today, there were a lot of reports about Kevin Durant. Places he wanted to go, places he'd prefer to go, teams that don't have good enough packages to acquire him. Kevin Durant's trying to make the NBA Finals about Kevin Durant, where, look, he's 37 years old. This is probably the last time he's switching teams in his Hall of Fame career. But The Athletic put out a report a couple hours ago that Kevin Durant's preferred trade destination, specifically, he wants to play for the Spurs. That must be nice, Kevin. Must be nice to just say, I want to play for this team. That's not how this works, because it all depends on what the Phoenix Suns can get back in a deal. A few hours ago, these odds, I don't believe, are still up at the moment. The Miami Heat were the favorite at 2-1 to acquire Kevin Durant's services. Last week, the Spurs were -$1.60 after a move to be the favorite to acquire Kevin Durant. They were 3-1 earlier today. This market has been fluctuating. As the news has come out that Phoenix didn't like the offer that Miami was going to be able to send their way, and the Knicks were a team Kevin Durant wanted to go to, but the Knicks weren't interested in him, which is interesting because that screams James Dolan to me, trading for a 37-year-old Kevin Durant with the way he's running things and the head coaching search is going. You'd assume the Knicks would have been in the mix for Durant, and they would probably overpay in that scenario. But a lot of reports coming out about where Durant may be. I've always thought Minnesota was a destination that made a lot of sense, but it sounds like he doesn't want to go there either. So the Minnesota Timberwolves aren't an option potentially. They were +350. So that leads us to the Spurs, the Rockets, who were the second shot on the board earlier today at +250, and the Raptors at 12-1. I don't see him going to the Raptors. I think Kevin Durant's going to go to a team that's potentially competing for a title. I do like him going to the East, though. I would prefer to go to the East. I think that's why he wants Miami. But Miami's unwilling to part with Khalil Ware in a trade. So if they're not going to give up a young, promising player in Ware, who are they giving up in a deal for Kevin Durant to obviously pair him with Tyler Hero and Bam Adebayo and hope their hopes would be contend in the East again? The Rockets have the player. See, the Rockets make a lot of sense. I prefer Minnesota, but if Minnesota's not interested, you can't do anything about that. The Rockets make a lot of sense. They desperately need a veteran scorer. He's a guy at 37, still averaged 26 points, 43% from beyond the arc. The Rockets at plus 250 would make sense to me to bet on in this market because they feel like a team, a scorer away from being a true title contender. And the best part about acquiring Durant is you're not asking him to do a lot of the dirty work. You have guys that are willing to get dirty and grimy in Dylan Brooks and Fred VanVleet. And I'm unsure if Şengün would be in the deal. I don't think you have to. I think Jalen Green would be the deal. If you're going to throw out a starting lineup where you have guys like VanVleet and Brooks and Şengün with Thompson, who took massive steps for the Rockets last year, and then you add Kevin Durant's scoring ability, the Rockets become a dangerous threat in what is an absolutely loaded Western Conference. That's the team I would highlight here. However, we have to understand with markets like this, they're constantly moving because the news actually matters. And if Durant's saying he wants to go to the Spurs do have the assets to get the deal done. And I don't think they're going to have to give up a De'Aaron Fox in the trade. I don't even know if they're going to give up Chris Paul in the deal, to be honest. They have plenty of young guys. They've drafted really solid guys over the years. Stephon Castle would be the centerpiece, maybe a draft pick or two, a couple other guys that they have that are young and up and coming that Phoenix could do something with and turn around. But we'll monitor that Kevin Durant market as it evolves because it sounds like he's enjoying his moment in the sun. He likes all eyes on Kevin Durant. And he's taking advantage right now as he's taking the news cycle away from the NBA Finals. It's Cashing Out, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. It's been a fun time in sports. I've really enjoyed the NBA Finals, even though I think it's going to end on Thursday with Game 6. Stanley Cup Final, I think we are going to be over as well on Tuesday. Look, the Florida Panthers are taking money. They're up to minus 155 in the market, plus $1.30 the other way with Edmonton, and the total 6.5. We could be in store for an under, maybe a first period under, because it's a situation for Edmonton where their season's on the line, and with that comes a bit tighter play. And I expect with the way things have gone with both goalies allowing a ton of goals in this series, Pickard and Skinner likely back in net for the Oilers, I think there's going to be a focus on the defense. So I do think a first period under could be in play for game 6 of the Stanley Cup Final, but I like the Panthers to win. They just have too much firepower, man. I've been blown away at the depth that they have. Obviously, what Marchand has done has been impressive, but they can hit you every which way. I think that's the thing that jumps out to me. Bennett's had a historic run in this postseason, right? They have so many guys in Reinhart and Barkov and Tkachuk. And then Bobrovsky, who we're not really talking about because there's been so many overs in the final, but he's been better than his counterparts. And that's been everything. That has been such a difference maker is that he's just more reliable. And he's been through this before. And when we frame this conversation about the Florida Panthers going forward, we're talking dynasty. Be their second cup in a row. They've been to a final previously. Like, this is a team that's built for sustained success. They were aggressive. They brought in Brad Marchand, and that's paid dividends for them. But they just have so many different ways to beat you. And for our neighbors in the north in Canada, I'm sorry. I thought you had a chance. I thought this was the one. It's just 93 in the Canadians. Kirk Muller, Patrick Waugh. They ain't walking through that door, people. They're not coming back anytime soon. I think Florida ends this thing on Tuesday, unfortunately, because I wanted to go 7. And there's some of you who probably think I'm crazy, right? Because Edmonton was able to come back last year. They forced a game 7. They made it dramatic. I just don't know if they have that type of fight. I'm not seeing that from them. And I think Stuart Skinner is a guy that I was really hard on a week ago on the show where I said you had to bench him. I don't think he's to blame. Similar to Anthony Edwards in the Western Conference Finals in the NBA, where I was super hard on Edwards. And now I'm realizing watching what the Oklahoma City Thunder perimeter defense is doing to Tyrese Halliburton, I think the same rings true with what Stuart Skinner is up against. That defense is so bad for the Oilers that he's taking the blame for everyone around him not being good. Whereas in that series in the Western Conference in the NBA, I blamed Anthony Edwards and didn't give enough credit to the defense of the Thunder. So that's where we stand when it comes to the Stanley Cup final. Hey, we've got a great deal over at VSiN.com. It's the early bird special. Full VSiN Pro access for $175. You'll get our NFL betting guide, which drops in just a few weeks here. Our daily best bets from every show at VSiN.com/picks. They're all categorized for you by sport, by person, by show, however you want to look at it. Full access to the VSiN Watch app, where you can go back, watch every show whenever you'd like on demand. Also, we have a great section where we sort clips from each show by sport. So if you want something on the Florida Panthers, search Florida Panthers, and you'll get clips that we posted based on that topic. Plus, all of our betting tools, all of the articles, analytics, all available to you right now. VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSiN, VSIN.com/subscribe. We have a lot to get to over the course of the next 45 minutes. I have a bunch of plays I'm looking at in Tuesday's baseball card that really jumped out to me. Some player props, some team totals, a couple sides along the way. Greg Peterson will join us in about 20 minutes. He'll have a million bets for you. If you're looking to fire on Tuesday, G-Unit always brings a million plays. We'll try and hit as many as we can. If we miss any, of course, Greg's articles, always available daily, VSiN.com. Go check them out right now. But when we return, mano y mano, some of the player props correlated to the pitcher-hitter matchups on Tuesday's baseball card next on Cashing Out.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, we are cashing out. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, hanging out live in downtown Las Vegas at Cirque Sportsbook, where it was popping a few hours ago. This place was crazy for the NBA Finals, in case you missed it. Oklahoma City is victorious. They take a 3-2 series lead over the Pacers in Game 5. The game goes over the total. Oklahoma City covers the 9, 9.5, depending on how you bet it. And I think the Indiana Pacers are on the ropes. Coming up, Game 6 will be on Thursday with OKC laying 5 on the road. That totals 224.5. I like the Thunder and I like the under right now. And I do think the Thunder will end up being an official play, as that means they will have won the NBA Finals. So we'll see how that plays out. We have plenty of time for full breakdowns of that game. In the meantime, we should shift our attention to the Tuesday MLB card, because I've gotten really into the hitter props, and there's a lot of ways that you can go and attack the board each day. There's certain pitchers I like to fade, certain situations I like to look at. And one way I like to do that is this segment we're going to do called Mano y Mano. And I do this every time we do the segment. And I sound very pompous and arrogant and annoying, and I very I told you so-ish. But mano y mano, people act like it means man versus man. It does not mean man versus man. It means hand and hand. So that's why we're going to look at some of the matchups in baseball. Part of it will be man versus man. Unfortunately, I'm going to go against what I just said. But mostly righty, lefties, how those pitchers and the hitters facing them do against each other. So let's begin mano y mano. We'll go historical first with some of the pitchers and how certain hitters they're facing on Tuesday have done lifetime against them. Let's begin with a guy who I'm definitely going to have a bet on, and that is Gleyber Torres of the Detroit Tigers. Small sample size, I totally understand that, but he is 2-for-2 against Pirates pitcher Bailey Falter, as the Tigers are minus $2 favorites. So it's also a situation where I like to look to back teams that I do think the market has properly priced, like the Tigers at minus $2, that I'm not willing to lay that kind of juice. If the Tigers win, I do think guys like Gleyber Torres end up having a good day. So I'm going to look at Gleyber Torres over 1.5 total bases at even money against a guy like Falter, where his only two hits are both for extra bases. And we'll touch on it a little bit later. He just hits lefties really well. Couple other guys that I think are worth highlighting here as far as mano y mano would be in the Baltimore Orioles-Tampa Bay Rays game tomorrow, because, look, I think that total at 9, that's That's in play. We may be going over on Orioles Rays, and I may have a bunch of different bets here because there's a lot of data that's showing me both teams are going to get theirs. For starters, the pitcher for the Tampa Bay Rays, Zach Littell, he leads the league in home runs allowed, 21 home runs allowed this season. And I do think the Orioles lineup is coming into form. And a guy who has very good numbers against Littell would be shortstop Gunnar Henderson. Henderson, 7-15 lifetime, 467 average with a double and two home runs. Looking at Henderson's total base prop, over 1.5 is -125 juice. Or you could go over 2.5 hits, runs, and RBI at +110. So it comes down to two different schools of thought. And I think because they're playing in that AAA stadium, I'm more inclined to chase that plus price. If this one was maybe in Baltimore or another stadium, I probably would play it safer with 1.5 total bases at -125. Meaning if Gunnar Henderson hits a double or a triple or a home run, or he gets two hits, over 1.5 total bases, we cashed and we laid 125. But I think because Littell allows so many homers, Henderson has great numbers against him, and I can get a plus price on hits, runs, and RBI in that small ballpark at Steinbrenner Field. 2.5 hits, runs, and RBI. We'll go over on Gunnar Henderson at +$1.10. And then the bottom of this graphic, Brandon Lau. I never know if it's Brandon Lau, Brandon Lowe. Then there's Nathaniel Lau or Nathaniel Lowe. I think it's Nathaniel Lau, Brandon Lowe, but I keep going back and forth. And then there's Josh Lowe, who's on the Rays also. And I think he's brothers with Nathaniel Lau or Nathaniel Lowe, however you want to say it. Did I confuse you? Because I'm really confused right now. Either way, Brandon Lowe, Brandon Lau, however you want to call him, he's smashing baseballs. And he has really good numbers against Dean Kramer, 4-9 lifetime with a ding dong. And he did homers 14th on Monday night. I think he stays hot. And I think Dean Kramer's a guy who's awful on the road. Absolutely, total over 9. Lowe, Lau, however you want to say it with Brandon, Gunnar Henderson. Those are two guys I am looking to back as part of Mano y Mano. All right, let's shift gears from the hitter versus pitcher. And we'll go with hitters who've made a lot of money and dominate against certain handed pitchers. And we'll begin with the left-handed pitchers versus these hitters. And it begins each time with a conversation around Jose Ramirez. And this is a difficult one to back. I don't know if I'd go there with J-Ram this time. As the Giants host the Guardians, Robbie Ray's on the bump, -164 on the Giants, +$1.34 with the Guardians, total 7. I'm more looking to back Jose Ramirez with softer throwing lefties. I think Robbie Ray's a guy in his home ballpark. I'd stay away from Ramirez in this spot, but the guy below him intrigues me. This Edgar Cuero guy for the White Sox, he hits lefties really well, hitting almost .400 with 4 doubles against southpaws. White Sox going to take on the St. Louis Cardinals and Matt Liberatore. Not sure Liberatore's a guy who's going to blow it by him. And I think the White Sox have enough guys who hit lefties where I'm really thinking about backing Shane Smith on Tuesday's card at +$1.28. But player prop-wise, you could do worse than Edward Cuero, a guy I don't think a lot of us have been watching, but good numbers against southpaws. We touched on it earlier as part of 3-up, 3-down, the 3-down variety. J.P. Sears, the lefty for the A's, taking on the Houston Astros, who are really good against southpaws. Jeremy Pena, that's a guy that I will be looking to back. I did not see props posted in the last hour or so. Perhaps there's some pitching issues involved with who's going to be the starters. If it is J.P. Sears, Pena, 382 against lefties this year with 2 homers. Absolutely worth playing if you're looking for some player props on Tuesday's card. Dane Myers is a guy for the Marlins that I was kind of blown away at the numbers that he has, not just against lefties, but recently for Miami. And Miami's shockingly solid against southpaws. Myers hits them well. Kyle Stowers hits them well. And they're going to take on Jesus Luzardo, who had a couple of bad starts about 2 weeks ago. Seems to have righted the ship, but if you want to live dangerously, Myers could be a guy worth backing. And then McKinstry and Baez, some other lefties for the Detroit Tigers that I mentioned earlier. That's why I like the Tigers team total over 4.5, even though they're the home team. I just think they kill lefties, and Bailey Falter's not a guy I expect to blow it by them. We touched on Gleyber Torres. McKinstry killing lefties, 368 this year. 3 doubles, 5 triples, and a homer. Let me repeat that again. 3 doubles, 5 triples, and a homer for McKinstry against lefties. And Javi Baez, 362 against southpaws with 4 doubles and a homer. I think the Tigers are going to put up a bunch of runs against Bailey Falter and company. Let's now look at the righties. The righty pitchers on the mound. Who's killing right-handed pitching? Well, the conversation always begins and ends with one Aaron Judge, who's hitting 386 against righties, 17 of his 26 homers there. Jacob Wilson, The Athletics, hitting 360 against righties this season. Freddie Freeman and the Dodgers taking on Randy Vasquez. Freeman's a guy I'd look to back in the total base prop market against Randy Vasquez, who just doesn't miss a lot of bats. I think Freddie Freeman's a guy who's hitting 356, 17 doubles, 7 homers. I mean, I like to do the math like this. We're looking at Freddie Freeman has 58 hits against righties. 25 of those 58 hits are for extra bases. Hitting over 350 feels like a good opportunity for him to go over 1.5 total bases. A guy that I'm just really noticing how good of a year he's having is Seattle's J.P. Crawford. Crawford is hitting 331 against righties. 8 doubles, 3 homers. Mariners at home tomorrow, taking on Walker Buehler, who just isn't the same guy he was a few years ago with the Dodgers. Very hittable of late. I think that's a guy I'd think about backing as well. And whenever we're talking about righties, or righty killers, I should say, Ryan O'Hearn from the Orioles is always in the conversation for me. I think I'll end up sticking with Gunnar Henderson, and also probably dabbling with a little Jordan Westberg, who since he returned from the IL has been killing the baseball and has been pretty good against Zach Littell. But if you wanted to go Ryan O'Hearn in a player prop, see, this is why I think maybe the safe play is just go team total, or not team total, go game over on the Rays and the Orioles tomorrow at over 9, because I just think Dean Kramer and Zach Littell are both going to get lit up. But if you want to go with any of these player props, I think they all make perfect sense. And if you're looking for a deal, this deal is wild. Circa has got you covered with the all-in summer hotel package. What you'll get for $400 is crazy. It's a 2-night stay at Circa, a $100 dining credit, a $100 beverage credit, and your very own day bed over at Stadium Swim. Let me repeat, 2-night stay at Circa, $100 in dining, $100 in beverage credit, and your very own day bed at Stadium Swim. It's all for $400. They've covered your resort fees and taxes. It's all included, part of the package, but it's a limited time offer. You have to go and do it through September 4th. Don't miss out. Lock in your all-in summer package now at CircaLasVegas.com. I mean, I live in Vegas and I might take advantage of that deal. That's how crazy it is. You'd be nuts not to do that, especially if you want to plan a trip out here before football season begins to get into the Circa Millions and get into Circa Survivor. I mean, that just plays right into it, right? Get out here and you get some deals so you save some money in the end. Well, a guy who's going to try and win us some money is Greg Peterson. His article's up at VSiN.com, but you don't have to go there just yet. He's going to break down everything in depth when we return. It's Cashing Out, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's Cashing Out, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Dustin Sweetelson here, live in downtown Las Vegas at the Circa Sportsbook, taking you through the night where, in case you missed it, the Oklahoma City Thunder now up 3-2 on the Indiana Pacers in the NBA Finals. They cover the 9-point spread. The game goes over the total of 223 as they win 120-109 in Oklahoma City. The series does shift back to Indianapolis for Game 6, where the Thunder are 4.5, 5-point favorites on the road. We'll touch on that a little bit later on in the show. But now we got to get into some baseball, because every day I go to VSiN.com, and part of my prep for what I'm doing, not just here on the show, but the bets I'm actually going to place, is comparing what I like to our next guest. And he is Greg Peterson. You know him obviously from here on the network, and his articles every day, college basketball, Major League Baseball. And he joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line to help us dissect the Tuesday baseball card. And of course, give Greg a follow on Twitter at GUnit_81 and download the Baseball Betting Show. And he's still doing coast-to-coast hoops in the offseason, which is wild because the transfer portal is a full-time job. Greg, thanks for doing this, man. You've got a lot of plays on the website. I want to get into them, and I'm curious what you're going to do with the New York Yankees, who are facing the Los Angeles Angels tomorrow. Kyle Hendricks is on the hill for the Angels. He's a very hittable pitcher, and the Yankees' offense has been struggling. Is this a chance to buy a bounce back on the Bronx Bombers?
I absolutely think so. And especially after we saw these two teams go 2 of 29 with men in scoring position in 11 innings on Monday. Like, I mean, that's just Murphy's Law happening if you had the over. And I did have the over, so felt like a little bit of a moron on that one. But we're going to run it back because the Professor Kyle Hendricks, well, he's been getting schooled on the road. How about a 6.38 ERA on the road, giving up 2 home runs per 9 innings? And he just hasn't been good for years. Like, even in the back half of his career with the Chicago Cubs, wasn't looking so great there. And Will Warren, he should be doing for some positivity. He's rocking north of a 4.70 ERA himself. He sometimes gives up a little bit too much contact. And with the Angels, we do know that this is an all or nothing team. They're actually dead last in the big leagues in terms of on-base percentage, but second in the big leagues in terms of home runs on a per-at-bat basis away from home. I find that stat to be hilarious. Like, look no further than Taylor Ward. 18 home runs, but a 270 on base. So you've got a lot of these guys for the Angels that they're going to be swinging for the fences. I do think that they knock one or two out, but I do think that an Angels bullpen that actually held down the fort did a nice job here on Monday. They get hit in this spot. For the Angels, they've been a bottom four team in the big leagues with regards to bullpen ERA. Use a lot of their trustworthy guys. Good spot here for the Yankees to bounce back. I like their run line, and I do like the over.
I love it. I love it. How about this next game? Diamondbacks at Blue Jays, where I've been a person who's been let down by the Blue Jays a bunch over the last couple of years, betting them to win the World Series, to win the American League. And apparently I was just too early. So this week, full disclosure, I did bet them 45-1 to win the World Series. Do I think they'll win it? No, but it's a ticket at a big number that I could hedge in the postseason. And you, like the Blue Jays, taking on Brandon Pfaadt, who's been awful of late. Toronto and Chris Bassett, minus 127, plus a dollar, plus 104 with Pfaadt and the D-backs, totals 8.5. What's the play on D-backs Blue Jays tomorrow?
Yeah, with Brandon Pfaadt, it's been a battle for him, and it's not been a good battle. How about in his last three starts? He has won a grand total of 8 innings, and he's allowed 16 runs, all of which have been earned. He had that one start where, you talk about a no-hitter, you had an every hitter. He literally did not get an out, and he gave up 8 runs. Now, he's been a little bit better ever since then, but I'm not banking on him doing anything good. Even in his last start where he gave up the 2 runs, against the Seattle Mariners, he was constantly underdressed. He was constantly putting men on base. I just do not like his form whatsoever. And then you've got a guy in Chris Bassett who it's been a little bit rough for him. 4+ runs allowed in 3 out of his last 4 starts. But you know what? He's getting in that neighborhood about 8 to 9 strikeouts per 9 innings. He's limiting the walks, and he's backed up by the far better bullpen. For the Blue Jays, this has actually been a top 12 team in terms of bullpen ERA. You've had these guys like Paxton, Schultz, and company being able to mix and match for them. Brandon Little's come up big, and Diamondbacks bullpen is not good. Ever since AJ Puck has went on the injured list, it has been less than savory. Bottom five team in terms of bullpen ERA. I do think that the Blue Jays are able to get to Pfaadt. They're able to get to that bullpen. I like the Blue Jays at home to get the job done on the money line, and I like that over.
Progressive Guest Line brings you our very own VSiN host and writer, Greg Peterson. Give him a follow over on X at GUnit_881. His daily MLB article up every day over at the website. And he's got a play on Orioles Rays. Full disclosure, I also have an overplay on Orioles Rays. I think Dean Kramer on the road, I love to go against him. I think there's going to be a lot of runs in this one. But you like Tampa Bay, minus 127 I'm seeing on Littell, plus 105 the other way on Baltimore. Total set at 9, Greg. Why do we like Tampa Bay?
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I have never been a Dean Kramer guy. I don't think I will ever be a Dean Kramer guy. 4.99 ERA, 1.4 home runs allowed per 9 innings. And he's also backed up by the far worse bullpen in this spot as well. For the Orioles, bottom 17 in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA, they're starting to find it a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Felix Bautista is a relatively good closer. You've got Keegan Aiken, who's able to give you some long relief as well. But for the Tampa Bay Rays, they're currently number one in the American League in terms of bullpen ERA. That should come as no shock, but I mean, some of the faces are new. Like, you've had Mason Montgomery along with Eric Gorze be able to step up for this bullpen, even with the injury to Hunter Biggie. These guys, Pete Fairbanks, the closer, all getting the job done. But for the Tampa Bay Rays, actually now a top 10 team in terms of runs per game. Like Jonathan Aranda's moved the line. You don't have a lot of guys at the bottom of the fold, but Junior Caminero along Brandon Lau, they've been able to give you combined 30 home runs. I know that you were talking a little bit about the over in this spot. I do like that over of 9 as well, because for Baltimore, you've got guys like Jordan Westberg coming back into the lineup. Colton Cowser has just come off the injury list. If you look at the overall season numbers for Baltimore, not necessarily representative of what you're getting right now. And Zach Littell has given up 21 home runs. That is most in all of baseball, but with that bullpen being able to back him up, I do think that the Rays get the job done here. I like them on the money line, and I'm with you. If I'm pulling that total, I'm looking at the over.
I love it. And I think we're similarly aligned here, where you're going to have a play on the total in Cardinals White Sox. Matt Liberatore, a minus 156 favorite on the road at the White Sox, where Shane Smith's plus $1.28, totals 8.5. I may end up backing Shane Smith in this spot. He's been awesome for them. He's coming off two really good starts against two good offenses in Houston and Detroit. And I think he may be a long shot for AL Rookie of the Year. I don't know if anyone's going to catch Wilson or even Caglione atop the board, but 2.37 ERA for Shane Smith. How are we going to play Cardinals and the White Sox on Tuesday?
Yep, Shane Smith has really impressed me. I think there might be a little bit of regression with him, but I don't know if it comes in this spot. Because with the Cardinals, they don't have a single guy that's giving you a double-figure amount of homers this year. Wilson Contreras, he's been able to give you 9 home runs thus far this season, but really a power outage for St. Louis. You've got guys that are able to go station to station, Mason Wynn, Alec Burleson, guys like this have been able to move line, but not a lot of power. But for Matthew Liberatore, recognize it's been rough for him. 4+ runs allowed in 3 out of his last 4 starts. But if you take a look at the fielding independent numbers, full point lower with that fielding independent at 3.15 compared to that 4.17 ERA. He's giving up less than a home run per 9 innings. He's giving up less than 1.5 walks per 9 innings as well. So he's doing all the little things. He's not beating himself. For St. Louis, I think that there's a little bit of positivity coming for Ryan Helsley in the closer as well. Chicago White Sox bullpen, still a little bit of a roll of the dice. But yeah, I've seen guys like Stephen Wilson be able to step up, and let's call it what it is. White Sox are a bottom 5 team in the big leagues in terms of runs per game. I like that 8.5 under. If I had to play the side right now, I'd lean a little bit towards the Cardinals because I really do like Liberatore, but I'm with you. I think that both of these starters are rock solid. I think that both give a very good performance.
VSiN.com and VSiN host Greg Peterson with us on the Progressive Guest Line. I'm probably going to end up joining you on this next play. I kind of want to buy low on this team that I'm going to mention next, the Kansas City Royals. Plus 109 at Texas. Should Jack Leiter be minus 132 against anyone? I know the Royals aren't hitting, but that lineup is still good. I think they come around, Greg. Why'd we end up back in Kansas City on the road with Lugo on the hill?
Yeah, and for one, I'm going to be taking a look at the under because you mentioned the lineup. Boy, these two teams are not hitting. Both of these teams in the bottom 5 of the big leagues in terms of runs per game. It's been rough for the Royals. And if you look at Texas, 9 overs to 27 unders at home this year. 75% to the under thus far this year. And both of these teams have top 8 bullpens in the big leagues in terms of ERA. Jack Leiter, though, he's giving up 4.5 walks per 9 innings. And Seth Lugo does a little bit of a better job of beating himself. Neither of these guys are strikeout artists. Leiter about 7.3 strikeouts per 9 innings, closer to 6 for Seth Lugo. I have a little bit more confidence that guys like Bobby Witt Jr. and company are going to step it up. Salvador Perez feels like a little bit of a lost cause this year, but I'm right there with you. I felt like the Royals should be a little bit of a favorite because I do trust in the veteran savvy of a guy in Seth Lugo. But that said, I just don't know if either team gets the 4 runs here. That total of 8.5 seems too high. Like the under, and I do like that Royals money line.
Yeah, it feels lofty. It feels lofty. He's Greg Peterson. You can find him over at VSiN.com with the daily baseball articles at GUnit_81. And check out the Baseball Betting Show wherever you get your podcasts. Greg, thanks for doing this, man. We'll chat again soon.
Dustin, always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much.
When we return, best bets for Tuesday's baseball card, including a plethora of hitter props. It's Cashing Out.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Closing up shop here. It is Cashing Out, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. Appreciate you joining us, however you may be doing so. Sirius XM channel 158, YouTube TV, and of course the VSiN Watch app available on whichever phone or app store you use. We've had a crazy show with the NBA Finals and the Thunder beating the Pacers in Game 5, 120-109. The Thunder cover the number of 9, 9.5. Game does go over 223. The Thunder are now 9-3 against the spread at home, and it was our second over in the Finals. Game 6 opened on Thursday with the Thunder laying 5.5 on the road. It's since been bet to 5. Some shops like Circa and the Westgate have 4.5. So if you're like me and you're inclined to bet the Thunder, shop around, because I'll lay that 4.5. I just think all the effort that Indiana's needed to catch up and get there and mount these comebacks and stick with a team like Oklahoma City, I think it's starting to wear on them. They made a run in the third quarter on Monday night, but the reality is they can't have that energy for four quarters. And I think the Thunder are showing why they're the better team, why they're the deeper team. And in case you missed it, Jalen Williams dropped 40 points. He was 5-1 to be the leading scorer. Holmgren led the way in boards. He was plus $1.40. And SGA led with assists, second shot on the board. He had 10 at plus 255. He cashed if you bet him to lead the game in assists. We do have a game 6 in the Stanley Cup final. And to discuss that, it'll be part of our VSiN Morning Bets segment. And Morning Bets, or Best Bets, I should say, always presented by our friends over at GBank and ExpressBet, introducing this incredible deal. It's the trifecta. And if you haven't taken advantage of it now, just check out this information we're about to flash on the screen, because the trifecta gives you a $500 trifecta from our friends at GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. All you have to do is open a GBank Visa Signature credit card. Within the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. You'll then receive $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa Signature credit card. First Bet will then give you a $100 deposit match. Then VSiN completes the third part of the trifecta with a free VSiN Pro subscription through October 31st. It's a $200 value. That's $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. All you have to do is head to VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank for all the information. This one-time promotion is limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions apply. So it's now time for our VSiN Morning Bets, where Stanley Cup Final Game 6 is upon us. And I do think this is the end of the road for the Edmonton Oilers. In the market, Florida laying 155 plus $1.30 in Edmonton. Total is 6.5. I also think with an elimination situation, we could see tighter play. I think a first period under could be very much live in this spot, if not a game under, but I'm just going to back the Panthers. The Panthers are the tried and true better team. They're the deeper team. They're the more aggressive team, and they've forced Edmonton into playing their style of hockey. They're in their heads. We're not seeing the same Oiler team we saw even in games 1 and 2, and I think Florida has all the momentum, and I think they take care of business. The miracle that we saw a year ago with the Oilers, it's just not going to happen because the defense has been so bad. It doesn't matter. We still don't know who's going to be in net, whether it's Pickard, whether it's Skinner. It doesn't matter which one of there is in between the pipes. Right now, Edmonton can't slow down anything Florida does. They've been super aggressive. And because I think Edmonton's aware of that, I think they back off some of the offense in the name of defense. And with that, a first period under feels right. I also will go -1.5 at plus 160 on the Panthers. They could just completely demoralize the Oilers and put them away. Obviously, with Edmonton's season on the line, they're going to pull that goalie, maybe pull him a little bit earlier than you'd anticipate because there is no tomorrow if they lose this thing. So I'll lay the puck and a half at plus 160, and I'll probably also end up betting the minus 155. I love Florida when it comes to game 6 of the Stanley Cup final. All right, we do have a lot of bets when it comes to baseball. They'll all be available for you over at VSiN.com/picks, but it's an interesting Tuesday baseball card. We'll begin with the Mets and the Braves, where the Mets are coming off getting swept for the first time this year. It was by the Rays, and it's a big stretch for New York coming up. 7 of 10 versus Atlanta and Philly combined, so it'll be a few against Atlanta, then Philly for 3, then Atlanta again. And Atlanta just took 2 of 3 from Colorado. They've won 3 of their last 4. Spencer Schwellenbach has been awesome over his last 5. A 2.80 ERA, 4 quality starts, and he's been awesome against the Mets in 3 career starts. A 0.86 ERA, 20 strikeouts in 21 innings, 2-0 record, 9 hits allowed in that span. I'm going to back the Braves in this spot. Maybe the Mets about to hit that first skid of the year. They've also been much better at home than they are on the road. They've been awesome, but I think this is the spot where Atlanta's starting to get right. Schwellenbach is good against them. And David Peterson, Truist Park has been a house of horrors for him. He's been good lately. He's the best pitcher currently in the rotation with Senga on the IL, but he's 0-3 at Truist Park in 6 games, 5 starts, a 6.66 ERA, and he's allowed 28 hits in 24 innings pitched. For a team like the Braves where the offense needs to get going, seeing a familiar guy in Peterson who you hit the ball well off of could be a recipe for success here. I thought laying $1.30, $1.36 was a pretty fair price on Schwellenbach and the Braves, so that's what we're going to do there. As far as player props go, I do have a lot and some team totals that I do want to run through. The Pirates are at the Tigers on Tuesday. Detroit's a heavy $2 favorite. Plus 166 on Bailey Falter in Pittsburgh. Casey Mize toes the rubber for Detroit. The total's 8. I can't obviously lay $2, especially Casey Mize coming off a really bad performance in his last time out. So I'm going to go Tigers team total over 4.5. It's always not great to bet on a home team because you miss out on that last at bat if they're winning, but they kill lefties and they have a lot of guys who do so. So I'm going to go team total. I'm also going to look at Gleyber Torres. Gleyber Torres, we can go over 1.5 total bases at even money. A lot of times if I can get a plus price or an even money price on a hitting prop, that will usually entice me to end up betting it because, again, you hit enough plus prices at certain numbers, you only have to be right 50% of the time, and you're going to look at being up in the long run with those bets. At even money, I thought that was a pretty good number against Torres, who we examined earlier in the show. Really good against lefties and 2 for 2 lifetime with 2 doubles against a guy on the hill for Pittsburgh and Bailey Falter. Tampa Bay and Baltimore will likely end up betting the team the full game over 9 runs. Dean Kramer against Zach Littell. Littell's favored with Tampa Bay -127 plus $1.05 with Dean Kramer and the Orioles. And Littell's allowed the most homers in Major League Baseball, 21 on the year. Dean Kramer's a guy who's really bad on the road. 6.33 away ERA versus 2.90 at home. This game's going to be played in Tampa at AAA ballpark, Steinbrenner Field. And because of that, I think the ball's going to jump out. So we're going to go on the game over. We're also going to stack it with player props. And we're going to chase some plus money here. Because again, if I only hit one of these two guys on the Orioles, we'll still be up in the long run at these prices. First will be Jordan Westberg, who since coming off the IL is seeing the ball really well, and he looks awesome. Taking on Zach Littell, I think he'll have a good day. You can go over 1.5 total bases at -105. Instead, I'll chase the plus money. Over 2.5 hits, runs, and RBI at +135. Gunnar Henderson will also chase at +110, his over 2.5 hits, runs, and RBI. He's a .467 career hitter against Zach Littell, with a double and 2 home runs in those 15 at-bats. AAA ballpark's going to play a role in this. I think the ball has the potential to jump out of there. If either of those guys homer, obviously we cash that thing. So I like that there. And then on the other side, Brandon Lau, who's locked in for Tampa, he's hit his 14th home run of the year on Monday night, and he's good against Dean Kramer. We'll go over 1.5 total bases, even money on Brandon Lau and the Tampa Bay Rays in that spot. And the final two from a player prop perspective, and I may even have some more bets later on at VSiN.com/picks, but looking at the pitching matchups for Tuesday and Milwaukee, trying to see who are they facing? Who is the pitcher on the hill that Milwaukee's facing? Oh, Ben Brown for the Cubs. Ben Brown is a guy I like to fade. With that, 2 left-handed bats who hit righties well. We're going to go Sal Frelick, over 1.5 total bases, +115. Frelick's been hitting the ball really well the last couple weeks, hitting a little bit under 300 against right-handed pitching. Jackson Chirio hitting over 300 against righties. We'll go over 1.5 total bases at +110 on him. Because Brown's a guy who's super hittable, because he's a guy the Brewers are familiar with, I like looking at those 2+ prices with Chirio and Frelick in that spot. Again, it's not a lot of VIG, but if we go 50-50 on those two, will be up on the day with those bets. But reality is, I think both have a very good chance of being live on Tuesday. And speaking of live, we've got a lot of live programming coming your way here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Wake up tomorrow with VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis, they get you started at 7 a.m. Then stick around for a numbers game. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin at 10 a.m. Eastern. Followed by Money Moves. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel at noon Eastern time. Special thanks to Jared, Corey, Jarens, Alexis, and Chris, and everyone else behind the scenes. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. This is Cashing Out.